And so Heavenly Father, thank you so much for Mike. Thank you for the effort and time that he's put in to preparing this message for us this morning on the topic of prayer. And Lord, we do not know how to pray. We do not know what to say to you apart from your word. And we thank you so much that you've given us your word to guide us and lead us into praying prayers according to your will, according to your desire, according to your ways and thoughts. So move, Brother Mike, fill him with the power of your spirit, that his words will come not just with words, but with power. Power to convict, power to save, power to sanctify. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Marcus, thank you. And Sean, thank you. And good morning, everybody. Great to be with you. We're in Luke chapter 11, which means that we're halfway through the story. There have been 10 chapters already in Luke's gospel. And within those 10 chapters, we have seen the crowds gathering around Jesus. Gathering around Jesus because he is doing things that nobody has ever done before. Jesus has been healing the sick. He has raised the dead. He has multiplied loaves of bread and fish to feed thousands of people in one sitting. Jesus is teaching and doing things in a way that nobody has ever seen before. Now, I know if I were one of those disciples, what I would be asking Jesus right now. I'd be saying to Jesus, Jesus, teach me how to do miracles like you do miracles. Wouldn't you? That's what you'd say to him, isn't it? Jesus, teach me, me and Marcus would say this, teach me, Jesus, how to preach like you. Oh, that would be amazing, wouldn't it? But isn't it noteworthy what they asked Jesus to teach them? Because here is Jesus who's doing these things that are out of this world, and yet they say to Jesus, it's the only occasion in which they ask Jesus to teach them how to do something, and they say, Lord, teach us to pray. That is noteworthy, isn't it? Because that is saying to us that aside from all the amazing things that Jesus is doing, there must have been something about the way that Jesus prayed that made hell shake, that shook the heavens, that did something that was so noteworthy that that was the thing that they wanted to learn from him. The heartbeat, and this is what I want you to see this morning, the heartbeat of Jesus' earthly life was prayer to his Father. And if we are followers of Jesus, if we are his disciples who are imitating his way of life, well then our lifeblood ought also to be prayer. Give me a nod if you agree with that. It's true, isn't it? It's an obvious logical statement. The heartbeat of those who follow Jesus ought to be prayer. Now, I want to start by focusing on the fact that the disciples asked Jesus to teach them how to pray. That's noteworthy, isn't it? Because I don't know about you, but I was taught, so at Sunday school, I grew up, went to Sunday school my whole life. My parents are here this morning, they were the ones who took me. And I grew up and I learned this, that we can say anything that is on our hearts to God and turn it to prayer. And that's true, isn't it? Of course it is. I teach my children that. Whatever emotion you're feeling, whatever's happening in your life, anything that you're thinking, you can turn that to God in prayer. Prayer is simply the heart cry to God. But it is also true that we need to learn how to pray. That's what this passage is implying, isn't it? If the disciples say, Jesus, teach us to pray, it implies that there is something to be learnt about how to pray. That we can learn how to pray, not just generally, but how we can learn how to pray in the way that Jesus prayed. In the way that is according to God's own heart. And that kind of prayer, my friends, that is the kind of prayer that is effective. And that's one of the reasons that we gather at church on Sundays. Did you know that? We've been thinking, haven't we, about all these means of grace, these ways in which God trains us to be more like Jesus when we gather at church on Sundays. And one of them is prayer. Because when you come to church, you come, hopefully, to learn the grammar of prayer. And those of you who've been here for a number of years, or perhaps you've attended, I mean, look, we'll sit with the Church of England now. There are all sorts of different ways and expressions of learning how to pray. But within the Church of England, you, if you've been coming here for any amount of time, you'll have a whole stock of prayers that you have imbibed, that have become a part of you. I do. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. That's a prayer and a half, isn't it? There's so much beauty and power in that. And it's significant as well, isn't it, that within the Church of England, our chief suite of resources for worship, what are they called? The Book of Common Prayer. We gather here on a Sunday to learn how to pray the way that Jesus prayed, how to pray according to God's heart. But learning those prayers is not so that we might then forever and a day parrot those exact formulas of words in our own prayers at home. That's not what they're for. I mean, it's great to use those words when we're at home. It's great to use those words in our own prayers. But those words, they're there to seep into us, to become part of us, so that as we pray, when circumstance demands, we are ready to pray in a way that is oriented towards God's will, in a way that takes our focus off us and onto Him. That's what those prayers are for, to become a part of us. And we see the same principle at work here when Jesus teaches us this prayer that we say every Sunday. Now, you may have noticed as Charlotte read, you'll certainly notice it afterwards when we pray the Lord's Prayer together, that the words in Luke, they were slightly off, weren't they? It wasn't exactly what we're used to praying on Sunday. What we pray on Sunday normally is based more off of Matthew's Gospel, the account that Jesus gives there of the Lord's Prayer. And I think what's going on there is that Jesus is showing us that he's not necessarily teaching us an exact formula of words, necessarily, although it is good to use those words, and we use them every Sunday. But it is about the shape of what our prayer life should look like. Jesus is teaching us principles for the kinds of things that we ought to be praying for if we're going to pray like him. Do you see the difference? It's one thing, isn't it, just to parrot in rote every single time you come to pray the Lord's Prayer. And that's a good thing, because it seeps into you. But it's quite another to take those words, to learn them, to internalise them so much that now that is just the heartbeat of the way you pray at any point in your life. And those priorities of Jesus orient all of your priorities. And let me tell you, that is what Jesus is trying to do. He's trying to reconfigure our priorities for prayer. And the reconfiguration, my friends, it is radical. It is radical. Look with me at verse 2. When you pray, pray like this. Father. Pray, Father. Do we understand the meaning of that? God is not just some distant, you know, genie in a bottle that we have to bargain with. God is our Father. And if he's our Father, we can take our cares to him. I know many of you, I spend time with you over the week. And I know that there are many cares in this room. You can take your cares to a Father who cares. That is what Jesus is saying. And look, there are fathers in the house this morning, aren't there? And this applies to mothers as well. How many of you know, being fathers or mothers, that the idea of your child struggling with something, wrestling with something, and them not telling you, them not involving you, it's heartbreaking, isn't it? We all want to be involved in the lives of our children. And that is what our Heavenly Father bids us. Involve me in your life. Ask. Seek, knock. Perhaps you're here this morning and you're saying to yourself, well, look, this whole thing of prayer, it sounds nice. Yes, we do it, but I never see God do anything amazing in my life. I never experience God involved in the day-to-day of my life? Well, my friend, do you ask God? Do you involve him in your life persistently? Not just when, you know, things go really wrong, but daily. Do you welcome him into the day-to-day through prayer? Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? I mean, that's a rhetorical question, isn't it? None of us. Or if he asks for an egg, we'll give him a scorpion. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Our Father wants the best for us. He wants the best for you. That's his nature as Father. But he knows that the only way to give us that which is best is for our priorities to be reoriented, to be like Jesus' priorities. Keep reading with me. Father, hallowed be your name. This is the first petition in the Lord's Prayer. And what a petition it is. Hallowed be your name. Now look, that's quite quaint churchy language, isn't it? Hallowed. We don't use that kind of terminology. What it means is, may your name be classed as holy. May your name be recognized as holy. Holy just means that something is a cut above the rest, right? It is not like everything else. And what Jesus is saying that our prayer ought to be, our first prayer, is may your name, Father, be the one that is above all else. May your name, Father, be the talk of the town. You remember during COVID, don't you, when we were all living this crazy existence that we all were. And the funny thing about COVID is nobody talked about anything else, did they? And we all became experts in, you know, virology and all of that kind of stuff that we never even heard of before. It was the talk of the town. Wherever you went, it would consume people's thoughts. And that is what Jesus is saying here. Pray that our Father, that his name would be the talk of the town. That his name would be the thing that occupies people's conversations, people's thoughts, people's hearts. May his name be holy in the world and in my life. How's that for a prayer? Do we pray like that? Is that our priority as we come to God in prayer? And that's what Jesus is saying to us. He's saying to us here, look, the foundation of a properly Christian prayer life, a Christian prayer life that is founded after Jesus, is to make God lifted up. It is about him. That's what prayer's about. For the next petition, your kingdom come. Your kingdom come. Right? Not my will be done. That's not what prayer's about. Your will be done. When I was a child, there was an advert that just really sticks in my head. I sang it to Marcus the other day. He recognized it. You might as well. There used to be a Mercedes-Benz advert. Do you remember it? Oh, Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes-Benz? Do you remember that advert? Yeah? We all do, don't we? My friends all drive Porsches. Yeah? And it's funny, isn't it? We laugh because it is funny. The thought's funny, right? How often is that the shape of our prayer lives? That it is all about our ease. It is all about our comfort. But Jesus is saying to us, no, no, no. The foundation of prayer, the foundation of prayer that pleases God is may your rule on earth be manifest. And may that rule actually begin in me. Because that's what I'm principally saying when I'm saying your kingdom come. Yes, Lord, may your kingdom come in Denton. Amen. Yes, Lord, may your kingdom come in this nation. That would be an amazing thing. But before all of that, let it start in me. Let there be no corner in my life in which Jesus, in which the Father is not king, in which his rule is not seen. And the thing is, my friends, if that is your prayer, if that is the persistent cry of your heart, that Lord, whatever happens in my life, through riches or poverty, in life and in death, through good or ill, whatever might happen, Lord, may you have the glory. If that is your prayer, that is the kind of prayer that God will always answer. If that is your prayer, he will give it to you. That is what Jesus is saying here. He will give it to you if that is your prayer. Jesus is saying, and look, it's the same Jesus who tells us the very number of hairs on your head are numbered, that God cares about all the details of your life. The same Jesus who, through the Apostle Paul, says, and I've learned this memory verse many times, this was one in my youth, do not be anxious about anything, but with prayer and petition, make your requests known to God. He says through Peter, take all your cares to him because he cares for you. Right? This is the same Jesus. But what Jesus is saying is that prayer is not foundationally about you. It is about him. That's what he's saying. It is about him. It is about his glory. It is about his kingdom. It is about his purposes. And that is why we need to learn how to pray. Because my default, and I don't know if this is true about you as well, is to say my kingdom come. My will be done. It's illustrated in the next petition, I think. Look at it. Give us each day our daily bread. See, my prayer is rarely for the daily bread. I want my bread of tomorrow as well.
Yeah.
And the day after, all the way through to retirement and beyond. Right? I want my nest feathered, don't I? I want to be secure in the things of this world and the resources that I have. But what Jesus is saying is that he wants God to be our security. Yeah? He's saying that he wants us to live a life that is reliant on him day by day. Reliance on him. To know that he is the one who provides for us today and that he will tomorrow. And look, my friends, you're here this morning and you are testament to the fact that God has given you your daily bread. You wouldn't be here otherwise, would you? You're here because God has answered this prayer in your life. Will you trust him for tomorrow? Will you trust him? Whatever's going on in your life, will you trust him for tomorrow? Given that he's brought you here faithfully. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And this reminds us, I think, that as we pray, we need to be ready to respond, don't we? To put our money where our mouth is. Is anybody here praying for the conversion of a loved one, that somebody that you know might come to know Jesus? Well, an application of this is, well, yes, pray for them by all means, but you better be ready to be the one by whom they come to know Jesus. Is anyone here praying for peace in a relationship? Well, you better be ready, Jesus is saying, to be the one by whom peace comes, to be the one to make the first move. Is anybody here praying for forgiveness for something that they have done? Well, you better be ready, Jesus says, to embody that very same forgiveness towards others who have wounded you, who've hurt you, who've offended you. We need to be ready to respond as we pray, to live out the prayers that we're praying. And lead us not into temptation. That's interesting, isn't it? Without God, I run headlong into temptation. Without God, I run headlong into oblivion, right? I recognize here in this petition my complete dependence on God in my life. Without him, as Marcus said earlier, without him, we can bear no fruit at all. And it's also, do you see, it's also a declaration of our fellowship with God, isn't it? Because lead us not into temptation. It implies that God is leading me, doesn't it? God is leading me. God is walking with me as I live out this life. Do you know God walking with you in your life? Do you know him as an ever-present as you walk through this life? Because that is core. That is foundational to everything that prayer is. It is an expression of our relationship with God, isn't it? We talked about the Word a couple of weeks ago. The Word, God's Word, it's God's ordinary means of speaking to us. And every relationship is founded on communication, isn't it? God speaks to us through His Word, and we speak back to Him through prayer. No relationship, my friends, can live very long without communication, can it? We hear from Him in His Word. We speak to Him in prayer. And that is why Jesus' life, it is this constant fellowship with God in prayer. That is why what most marked Him out, the disciples are telling us here, was His life of prayer. And so to follow Jesus, my friends, to be His disciples, is to be a people of prayer, isn't it? Give me a nod if that makes sense. It does make sense, doesn't it? But it's not easy. Give me a nod if you think it's not easy. It's not, is it? No, it's not easy. And look, I don't want to presume anything about anybody this morning. There might be all sorts of different people here. There might be those who hear this morning and think, do you know what, actually, I want to grow in my relationship with God through prayer. But it's not something that I've made a regular habit and practice of. Well, let me tell you, today, you can make a start. You can say to yourself, you can say to God, Lord, I want to begin a journey where I walk with You in prayer daily. Come and talk to me afterwards if that's you. There won't be any shame in saying, look, my prayer life's not where it's meant to be. I want to hear more. I want to learn how to grow. I've got a few resources here with me. I've got a whole host of them, actually. Things that have helped me to shape my prayer life. Things that actually have given me words when I don't know what to pray. Come and chat to me afterwards in the hall. I'd love to talk to you about that. Maybe like me, you're in a slightly different place where you do pray, but you're aware that this is an area in which God is calling on you to grow. God is calling on you to become more like Jesus. You become lazy, you become flabby in this area. Well, firstly, don't despair, right? Because that's what the enemy wants us to do. Secondly, there are some resources here. Come and talk to me afterwards. I'd love to chat with you about that. We've got, as Marcus said, these wonderful evening services, which is our chance to gather together in a more extended way, to learn how to pray together. And we want to increase those opportunities so that we might become, in this church, a house of prayer. Because that is what Jesus calls us to. It was the thing that most marked Him. Can it be the thing that most marks us as the body of Christ? Let me pray. I'll hand back over to Marcus. Father, the mere fact that we can draw close to You in prayer and call You Father is a marvel. And Lord, we've done it so often, we've been invited so often to do that, Lord, that we lose the wonder of it. And yet we come before You now, we repent of our lukewarmness. We pray, restore us. We renew our following of Jesus by saying we long to draw close to You in prayer. Lord Jesus, teach us to pray. And where our priorities, Lord, have been wrong, where our priorities have all been about us, about the things that we want, about the things that will make our lives more comfortable, Lord, we pray, turn our hearts again to Your priorities. It is about You. And yet, Lord, You welcome each one, as we are, with whatever cares and burdens we carry, and we bring them to You. And we thank You, Lord, that You do care. Make us more like Jesus, we pray. For we pray in His name. Amen.
Amen.
Now, we're going to sing a song that's all about that, actually. What a friend we have in Jesus. And that's so true, isn't it? I love this song, one of my favourites. Do please stand and sing with me.